The one in which Fox proves them all wrong. Written by Insert Something Meaningful and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars fic, rated mature, featuring copious relationships, but mainly Fox / Quinlan Vos. This is tagged for Alternate Universe, Canon Divergence, Order 66 Didn't Happen, 79's Clone Bar, Background Rex Anadala, Background Blyla, Background Cody Wan, Background Mace Pons, Trans Female CC 5052 Bly, Aromantic Asexual Agender CC 1004 Gree, Asexual CC 6454 Pons, Humor, Relationship Reveal, and Tumblr Ask Box Fic. Summary. The Command Batch is a smoking hot train wreck of endlessly pining disasters, and Fox suffers for it. But he will have his revenge.
I came to dance, 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 dance. I hit the floor cause that's my plans, 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 plans. I'm wearing all my favorite brands, 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 brands. Give me some space for both my hands, 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 hands.
Fox sighed with relief as the doors to 79's slid closed behind him, blocking out the heavy bass of the club's thumping music. Gree immediately got out their pocket mirror and walked to stand in a slightly brighter patch of light where 79's neon sign hadn't broken down yet. While they refreshed their eyeliner, Pons smoothed the folds out of his long, flowing dress, Bly stuck her hands into the front pockets of her cargo shorts and began whistling a random tune, and Cody downed the drink he was holding in one go. Rex seemed to be the only one doing something productive, going by the way he was murmuring frantically into his comm, pausing every now and then to listen and nod and appear generally worried. "All right," he said at last. "I'm on my way. Just stay put until I get there." He switched off and pocketed his comm link and began shrugging on his leather jacket over his mesh top. Bly stopped whistling. Cody lowered his glass. Pons looked up from where he was plucking at a loose thread at the seam of his décolleté, and even Gree snapped their pocket mirror closed. It was Fox who asked, "Skywalker trouble again?" Rex tried to tug the back of his shorter-than-short shorts down over his thighs so they'd cover his entire ass, and grimaced when that failed. "Yeah. I mean, no. Well, sort of." Cody spoke up. "Skywalker Amidala trouble, then?" Rex nodded. No one volunteered to offer their help and go with him. "Welp, off you go, lover boy." Bly clapped Rex on his all but bare buttocks, earning an undignified squawk, and shoved him toward the line of cabs that was hovering at the edge of the platform. "Go rescue your two disaster Natborns." "They're not my—" Rex began to object, but he was drowned out by a chorus of, "Good luck," and "Go get 'em, Tiger." Fox grinned as Rex flipped them all off before he piled into the backseat of a taxi and immediately leaned forward to give the driver frantic instructions. The cab peeled away from the platform with a sputter of its thrusters before it melted into the nighttime traffic, swooping out of view. "Poor Shabweer," Gree muttered, and Pons snickered. Cody huffed. "Wonder when he's gonna stop pining and actually do something about it before they employ him as a full-time maid." "He'd look good in the outfit, though," Fox snorted as he picked at his cracked crimson nail polish. Pons giggled, but Bly elbowed Fox in the side. "Shut up, Vod." Fox opened his mouth to snarl something vicious back. Damn, that had actually hurt. But Gree was already talking again. "Then again, Cody," they were saying. "What's that I hear about you moving into the temple because Kenobi asked you to? Separate quarters, though, right? Bet that stings." Pons doubled over, sobbing with laughter. Cody rounded on him, dark brown eyes blazing under his golden eyeshadow. "Shut your fucking whore mouth, Pons. Like you're not aching to get Windu's last name on your official records and adopt 10,000 tubies with him." "Hey." Pons bared his teeth in a snarl, which looked only semi-impressive given that he was still wiping tears of laughter from the corners of his eyes. At least I don't spend all day waxing poetic about my general's bald blue head and her 8-pack and her really long leck. Oh, fuck you all, really. Fox took a cautionary step away from a fuming Bly as Gree piped up, "I don't get it. You'd be making your lives so much easier if you just, you know, spoke up and talked to your generals about it." "Your lives and everyone else's, too," Fox added. Obviously, one step wasn't enough to really protect him. Bly lunged at him and wrestled him into a headlock, seemingly deaf to his powerful shrieks that made heads turn all around them. Pawns almost ruined Fox's perfect braids as he rubbed his knuckles across the top of his head, though he was promptly shoved aside by Cody, who flicked his fingers at the tip of Fox's nose with the sort of precision that stung. Gree just stood there, pocket mirror in hand once more as they retraced their dark green lipstick. Fox howled and scratched at Bly's arms until her grip loosened enough for him to slip free. Heaving in deep gulps of breath, he stumbled out of reach of his currently least favorite sibling and leveled an accusatory finger at Gree. "What the fuck? Why do they get to talk shit without consequences, but I get stitches the second I open my mouth?" Pons growled, and Cody sighed. "Because they're not a stupid hypocrite like the rest of us. They don't fall in love. You, however, you've never met a hot Jedi and wanted to jump their bones from day one, let alone marry them." Bly had edged closer again without Fox noticing, and now she leaned over and pinched his bare midriff below his crop top. "Unless you do, you don't get to go making fun of our pathetic crushes." Fox aimed a slap at her hand, but caught only air. He looked up and glowered at each of them in turn. "You don't know that. I was literally stationed here on Coruscant, the very planet that happens to be known for housing the highest percentage of hot Jedi in the entire galaxy." "Sounds like something someone who's never had a hot Jedi dumped in front of their nose would say," Gree purred. Pons howled with laughter, and even Bly chanced a giggle. As Fox fumed, Cody linked arms with him and shot him a benevolent smile, then began dragging him back towards the doors of 79s. "Come on, troopers. I think this Nuna's been roasted enough for one night. Why don't we go get him something to drink?" The others followed suit, clustering around them like a particularly excitable gaggle of the bird Cody had just compared Fox to. Unseen by all of them, Fox got out his comlink and pulled up a comm code he'd planned to shoot a text to anyway. Later that night, actually, but he was sure the proprietor of the number wouldn't mind an early call. So they thought he'd never met a hot Jedi face to face, so they assumed that he didn't know what it felt like to want to climb one like a Wurscher tree, thought he'd never experienced the most pathetic crush a Marshal Commander of the Gar could ever even hope to experience. Fox grinned as he finished typing in his message and hit send. Well, he was going to prove them so wrong. Fox was just knocking back the third shot of that night, his elbow linked with Gree's, when Pons and Cody's squabbling at the other end of the table fell silent, and Bly breathed out a thready, "Oh, fuck me." "No thanks," Pons huffed out, though he sounded distracted too. "Not like that, you idiot," Bly hissed. "That's my general's old man. Now, if any of you even try to make me look bad in front of him..." "Relax," Gree drawled as they set down their shot glass and turned to look in the same direction as the others. "He's not even coming this way." Fox followed everyone's line of sight and felt a familiar smile slip onto his face. Quickly, he lifted his glass to cover it up. "He's definitely coming this way," Pons muttered, and Cody sighed. "It's Quinlan fucking Vos. Hot property, if you want to believe Obi-Wan," he said, as he sat up a little straighter. "Of course he's coming this way. Probably looking to take at least half of us to bed tonight." Fox choked on his drink and quickly turned it into a cough. Scowling, he wiped at his chin, hoping to the stars and the force that he hadn't smudged his lipstick. Quinlan fucking Vos sure as hell wasn't looking to take any of them home tonight. With one exception, of course. A hush fell over the table as everyone watched Quinn approach. In his platform boots, he towered over the crowd. His locks were drawn back into a loose bun at the nape of his neck, and his face tattoo was shimmering in the dancing lights of the club. One small gust of wind, and the skirt of his little black dress probably would have lifted up to reveal what was hidden underneath it. Or what wasn't. Fox grinned as he remembered a particularly memorable night they'd spent together in the back rooms of a certain club, after which he'd been in possession of an additional pair of panties while Quinn hadn't stopped complaining about how cool the breeze was. As he approached, Quinn took the time to smile and nod at every one of Fox's siblings in turn, but by the time he was right there, in touching distance, his gaze had zeroed in on Fox. "Hey, babe." His dress rippling around his thighs, he bent down to Fox and twirled a loose strand of Fox's hair around his finger. "I got here as fast as I could. Where's the emergent?" Fox had been glancing sideways at his siblings, his satisfaction growing along with their eyes as they started to realize what was happening. Now, he turned his head, reached up, grabbed Quinlan by the nape of his neck, and pulled him down for a long, wet kiss. With tongue. It was a shame that he couldn't see their faces now. Quinlan melted into his grasp, kissing back readily. His hand slipped into Fox's hair, ruining it for good, only Fox couldn't really find it in himself to care. By the time they pulled apart, Quinn was gasping, and Fox's head was buzzing. "Whoa." Quinn stroked his thumb over Fox's cheek, so gently it almost hurt. "That felt weirdly spiteful, but also smug in a good way. Who made you mad this time?" Fox didn't answer. He didn't have to. The annoyances in question were already giving themselves away. Bly slapped her hands flat on the table and pushed back her chair to stand. "All right, then. I'm off to buy that proposal headband I've had my eye on for Ayla." "We're adopting 10,000 Tubies right the fuck now," Pons muttered, getting out his data pad. "Mace can say no, but I won't accept it." "Hello, Obi-Wan? Yes, this is Cody. No, everything's perfectly fine. Listen, I was thinking, would you like to go out some... Yes, I know it's 2 a.m, as you put it, but please, hear me out." Gree followed Cody's example and got out his comm link. With a sideways glance at Fox, he said to no one in particular, "I'm calming Rex to tell him that he should finally confess. I mean, if it worked for you of all people, it's got to work for him too." Fox looked back at Quinlan and smiled sweetly. "We're all good here, thanks. You want to dance?" Quinlan did want to dance. He wanted to do much more too, later, and Fox was more than okay with that. As they ground on each other on the dance floor, Fox's hands on Quinn's ass and his face pressed up against Quinn's cushy pecs, he smiled. Victory had never before tasted this sweet. The end. I throw my hands up in the air sometimes, say